Well, hello, radio friends, and once again, this is Minor Hawk introducing you to another Voice of the Gospel radio broadcast. And today we're going to open up the program by asking God's blessing on His Word. Father and God, we bow to again thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for His death at Calvary. We thank Thee for extending the day of grace so that others might come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. Bless Thy Word about to be read and spoken from here today, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, today I want to discuss several verses of Scripture with you, but I'm only going to read one for sake of time. And it's found in the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Well, friends, today I'd like to discuss with you several scriptures, one which we've already read, and it has to do with the word which God uses in each of these scriptures. Yes, in each of these texts we read where God calls something great. Great. Now, when God says that something is great, we can be sure that it is something whose uniqueness surpasses our mere finite comprehension. After all, God is the creator of all things, the heaven and the earth, and all that dwell therein. He's the one who upholds all things by the word of His power. And so, friends, when God declares something to be great, then our attention should be directed to what He's referring to, because it surely must be great. Now, in the scripture we read, Genesis 6 and verse 5, we read of the conditions just prior to the great flood of Noah's day. And God says that the wickedness of man was great. Yes, there was great wickedness. And, friends, today, just as in Noah's day, there is great wickedness upon the face of the earth. Murder, adultery, theft, rape, falsehood are written on the lives of countless multitudes everywhere in the world today. The newspapers are filled, page after page, with the gross sin and iniquity which abounds on every hand. Yes, the world today is preparing the way for the man of sin, the son of perdition, and this scene of time and sense is soon going to feel the wrath of a sin-hating God. And friends, one of the saddest facts to acknowledge in these days of great wickedness is the apparent failure of God's people to strengthen the moral fiber of which this great nation was made. Carnality amongst Christians is the rule rather than the exception. Yes, there's a growing trend toward complacency, compromise, and carnality amongst God's redeemed people. And friends, it's all pointing forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You recall over in Matthew chapter 24, where the Lord Jesus Christ declared that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, friends, as God looks down from heaven today, the sight which He beholds must bring a stench to His nostrils. Yes, there is great wickedness in the world today, and things aren't getting any better either. In fact, if it were not for the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit of God in the world today, conditions would be a lot worse. Today, over 4,400 babies are killed in the United States while in their mother's womb every day. Today, children are having babies. Parents are being murdered by their children. School children are being killed in their schools. And it's sad to say that even the highest political positions are being subject of allegation of gross sin and immorality. Friend, mankind is in bad shape and getting worse. But listen, sinner friend, today I want you as an individual to realize that as an individual creature of God, if you've never been saved or born again, then you too are wicked in God's sight. In Isaiah 1 and 6, we're told that from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Again, in Romans 3 and 10, God says that there is none righteous. No, not one. And in verse 23 of that same Romans chapter 3, we hear God's summation of all mankind today with these words. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, unregenerated man is a lost rebel creature in the sight of his Creator God. And in this spiritually depraved condition, man can do absolutely nothing to please the Holy God. However, if the Holy Spirit of God reveals to man his true sinful condition in God's sight, then and only then can he respond to the grace of God and trust God's Son as his own and personal Savior. Yes, only when we realize our spiritually lost condition can we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, And again, I remind you that this is all the work of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God. Now, there's another scripture we could point to today, and it also has that word great in it. In Hebrews 2 and verse 3, here's what we read. Here's what God says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Sinner friend, God refers to the redemptive work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a great salvation. And of course, time today doesn't permit our going into the many facets as to why God's salvation is so great. But our mere finite minds could not grasp the underlying truths involved in the God of heaven becoming flesh and dying on the old rugged cross for our sins. But listen, sinner friend, God doesn't ask us to understand this great salvation. All He wants and expects us to do is to accept it by simple childlike faith alone. And friends, to accept God's great salvation is to denounce our own ability to achieve favor in God's eyes. It is a humbling of ourselves in the presence of God. And friends, it's to acknowledge that we can't do a thing to either merit or inherit the great salvation provided by the precious blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus 3 and verse 5, we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, He saves us. Again, in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, we're told, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, friends, very briefly, the reason why God calls His salvation great is simply because of the great price that was paid for our redemption. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. Yes, sinner friend, the God of heaven veiled His heavenly glory in human flesh and went all the way to Calvary's cross to suffer, bleed, and die for poor lost sinners like you and I. And the great price required to satisfy the claims of the Holy God against sin was the precious blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9 and verse 22, God declares, Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And that's the reason the Son of God became the sacrificial lamb, so that He could shed His innocent blood as an atonement for our sin. Over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And today, almost 2,000 years after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, the value and virtue of His precious blood has not decreased one iota, because faith in that blood brings a sinner back to a new and proper relationship with his Creator God. Over in Colossians 1 and verse 20, we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, having made peace by the blood of His cross. Again, in Romans 5 and 1, Paul tells us, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And sinner friend, you too can have peace with God by accepting His great salvation manifested in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember what our text says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Yes, God is faithful in warning the unsaved that there is no escape from His terrible wrath if they neglect or reject His great salvation. In John 3 and verse 36, I believe we have the whole world of mankind found. Here's what we're told in John 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that leads us to another scripture that we could read today, and that's found in Luke chapter 16. You know the story well of the two people that died. One went to paradise and the other went to hell. And in Luke 16 and verse 26, there we read of the man who died unsaved and went to hell, and he was so tormented in the flames that he requested Abraham to send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his parched tongue. And Abraham reminded the lost soul that Lazarus couldn't do that. No, he couldn't relieve this man's suffering because there was a great gulf fixed between them. Yes, there was a great gulf fixed between them. In other words, the die was cast. Eternal separation from God was the plight of the rich man in hell. No longer could he enjoy the temporal blessings of time and sense. No longer could he eat, drink, and be merry. No longer could he be dressed in fine linen and fare sumptuously every day. No longer could he bask in the sunshine of God's grace. He had passed out of time into eternity, and it was impossible to receive any relief for his excruciating pain and thirst because there was a great gulf fixed. While here on earth, he had enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season, but now he was down in hell suffering the torments of the doomed and damned. And sinner friend, the sad part about his plight was the fact that his punishment was irrevocable. He had made a choice which determined his soul's eternal destiny. He had played the fool, and now it was too late. He was lost, and lost forever. Yes, the rich man on earth became the beggar in eternity, and the beggar on earth became the rich man in eternity. Sinner friend, I don't like to speak about hell and the wrath of God, but what would you think of me if I allowed you to drop into hell without at least warning you to flee from the wrath to come? Ah, no, my friend. It gives me no pleasure to speak about eternal torment and the place of eternal separation from God. But on the other hand, I must, in love for your soul, tell you the truth of God's word. And friend, if you reject the great salvation of God being offered to you today, then you are inviting the judgment of God. And that simply means hell and the lake of fire. Now friends, this is a solemn thought. You are making a choice today whether you realize it or not. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, so that thou and thy seed may live. And in closing, my friend, I want to refer you to another scripture with the word great in it. In Job 36 and verse 18, here's what we read. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he, meaning God, take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. What a solemn thought. No, my friend, if you die outside of Christ and go into that terrible place called hell, or any other name some people might want to give it, there is no way you can escape, my friend. No, you can't be paid out of it, and you can't be prayed out of it. It's forever, and forever, and forever. So, friend, I plead with you today as this broadcast comes to a close. Look by faith to Calvary. Realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was God expressed in human form, and in love for your soul, he died there and shed that precious blood without which there can be no remission for sin. Yes, friend, I plead with you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time and for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father and God, we claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. May there be those out in radio land even now, trusting thy Son as Savior and Lord, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.